Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of QSR Uncut. I'm your host, Danny Klein, the editorial director here at QSR. So as I say from time to time, you know, we like to step out of the, you know, operator perspective and once in a while into the, supplier, vendor, however you want to define it. But I think the key to know is that, you know, a lot of times the solutions and the problems in this industry are being solved by people who are looking at it from a higher view. And this is a very good topic. So I'm joined by Eric Lam of Berry AI. And so Eric, first of all, I just want to start by saying thanks for coming. Second part is I want to give you a chance. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, about what the company does. You know, that AI at the end of your company's name is probably enough to generate a lot of interest here, but we'll talk about the specifics. But yeah, tell us about your story and how you got started, and we'll go from there.
Great. Well, thanks for having me on, Danny. It's exciting to be on here to chat more about AI. So a little bit about myself. I started off in the point of sale space from the hardware side, and so had always been around QSR and restaurants. And from a tech standpoint, eventually I went to get my MBA, and at that time, AI really started picking up. This was around 2019. Around that time, I also was working at a Bay Area startup that used a lot of AI cameras to do kind of like Amazon Go type checkout free stores where you can walk in, grab something and walk out, and really saw the power of computer vision and AI cameras and how quickly that was evolving. So eventually finished my MBA, wrapped that up and started Berry AI. And essentially what we do is we put cameras in QSR drive-thrus as well as in-store. And then we train these cameras to recognize automatically what are cars waiting in line and what are people waiting in line. And out of that, what we do is we basically tell QSR restaurant operators what their speed of service is like throughout the day, broken down, so that they can really understand what the full customer journey is like, both in the drive-thru as well as in the store. And it's just been a really exciting journey working with operators and helping them figure out how to best use this kind of very new technology in a very real way to help improve their operations.
So, you know, I think a lot of times, as you would know, you know, this industry kind of gets a bad rap for being like, you know, slower to technology than, say, retail is, or, you know, some other sectors out there in the world. But, you know, that said, I think that's changed very quickly here in the last 2 or 3, 4 years. And so my question is, take us back to the beginning of this technology and how restaurants interacted with it, what they thought about it, you know, kind of compare it to now, because I think what I hear from is personally a lot now is, you know, in terms of AI, you know, people are really looking at it a way to make sense of some of the data points that they've been collecting, because QSR is, you know, from the POS side, have been collecting data forever. They never really knew what with it, and didn't really know how to break it down, or beyond that, didn't really have time to do that. So they'd be sitting on this mountain of transaction data, you know, and it was like, okay, well, who's going to sit here for the next 7 hours and tell me what mattered here? And so, yeah, take us through that journey of, you know, what it was just like originally compared to now, and kind of how people have begun to use it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you in that. You know, I think QSR operators today are flooded with data. But I think that the really big challenge is what to do with that. And can we really boil that down to something actionable and something of value? And I think from our standpoint, it's been a really interesting and fascinating journey over the past 5 years. You know, the concept of what we're solving is actually a really basic and fundamental challenge in QSR, which is around speed of service. And most operators are really familiar with this concept of tracking speed of service. You know, it's already done for decades in the drive-thru. And so, you know, when we were starting off, it wasn't really a new concept to most folks as to the problem we were solving. I think what most folks were interested in hearing was, okay, I have something that does something similar. Why is it better, to use a camera instead of, you know, a loop buried under my drive-thru that tracks window time? And from then it becomes a very kind of intuitive conversation, because then we start asking, okay, well, have you ever heard of any, you know, creative stories around how folks have managed to game the system? You know, folks have swung teapots outside the drive-thru window. Some folks do laps around with their own cars. You know, we hear all sorts of wacky stories. And then folks start seeing, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. And I think people eventually arrive at the point where, you know, for this type of use, a camera really tracks much more data than a traditional type of sensor. And that part becomes very intuitive for a lot of operators. And so we get a lot of folks who can see that problem pretty clearly because they've experienced it firsthand and you know, are excited to try out this technology. And we've really come a long way since back then, 5 years ago. I think back then, you know, we get a lot more, okay, this is really interesting, this is really cool, and I see this is the future. How long is it going to take? I think where we're at today is that, you know, we've run through this with successful pilots and rollouts with different customers. And a lot more kind of the questions that we hear from customers today are, hey, I've heard, you know, my buddy who's using some type of system like this, you know, tell me more about it. Or I've seen a couple of demos now. How are you guys different? So I think as a space in the whole, you know, this QSR operators are much more familiar and experienced in getting exposure to these types of solutions. And that's been a really exciting, you know, journey for us to be a part of.
Yeah. So where does the AI part come into play here? You know, I think, cameras are something that a lot of operators are familiar with, you know, probably more inside, in terms of being able to just kind of watch things. But, you know, coupling that with the data part of it, I mean, where is the artificial intelligence in what's happening here?
Yeah, I love that question, because we use AI so generally these days to refer to so many different things.
Generative AI.
So, you know, almost half the startups or products now slap on the AI label up there. So it's almost like a puzzle to figure out what the AI actually is. For us, it's pretty simple and straightforward. What the AI is doing is it's automatically recognizing the people and the cars in the drive-through. So imagine, you know, you do a speed audit in one of your stores and you're taking a stopwatch and a clipboard and tracking each person as they come through. Basically, what we're doing is we're training our AI to do that with the camera feed automatically. So we feed it some images of, this is what someone waiting in line looks like, and this is what someone ordering looks like, and this is what someone waiting for their food looks like. And after a few reps, the AI learns to pick it up by themselves and does it automatically over time, which then makes sense because it can do it 24/7 for your store. As long as it's open, it's tracking your wait times.
Yes, I'm sure you get this question a lot, but, you know, so say I'm an operator and I install this and I get to now see what's happening in the drive-through line. So now where is the line between, you know, that and improving speed of service? You know, how do you, you know, how is it different than, again, like somebody just sticking their head out the window going, there's seven cars in the back, you know, or whatever kind of the historic, you know, method was? I mean, how do they use this to improve speed of service in the line?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways. So the first way is really just giving you more insight into what you're tracking. And so different than, you know, traditional loop timers, what we try to capture is the full journey of the customer waiting in the drive-through. So normally what, you know, loops measure is what's been easiest to measure, which is, you know, the window time or the order time. But that really doesn't capture what your customer is experiencing as they go through your drive-through. And it really doesn't capture how many folks are leaving. And so the first part we help operators is really just giving you more insight into what your customer is experiencing. And what you might find there is might be some really surprising insights. You might find you have a couple stores that they might be operating at the same speed as your other stores, but they have a huge line forming and there's just more demand there. And there's a lot of cars driving off. And that's something you typically can't really understand. So that's the first way we go about it. And the second way we go about it is really quite simple. And it's kind of what you hit on, Danny. It's really helping the store understand how much pent-up demand I have in the line. And then traditionally, the best way to do that is poke your head out the window, take a look. But, you know, that leaves a lot to be desired in terms of the experience. And so what we do is we really simplify it down to, we're going to notify you of when the line builds up to a certain point, and really focus and let you know that, hey, this is at a certain level now of pent-up demand. And if you're a burger joint or a chicken joint, that helps you inform how much fries I should be dropping, how many patties I should be dropping in a way that you really couldn't have done in an easy way in the past. And on top of all of that, we give you a way to organize all that information so that, you know, your operations manager at the end of the day, you can see, hey, you know, there are these couple moments where we saw a really spike in demand, and now we have a historical data to see how do we really react to those scenarios. And that's something you really just can't do by poking your head out the window.
Yeah, years ago, I was at this franchise event, a franchisee event. You know, they spend a lot of time talking about the drive-through, and it was actually really fascinating because, you know, basically what they had figured out was, you know, the time to take the order, you know, was the thing that they were doing wrong. You know, people were, you know, they liked the food, the accuracy was good, the friendliness was good, you know, and they were willing to wait after getting their order taken. I mean, we had done some survey data, and it was like 6 minutes to get your order. But then after that, people were willing to wait like 11 minutes between order and pickup, which, you know, is an extreme number. And I don't, you know, think anyone wants to wait 17 minutes. But the point of that whole thing was the pull-offs that they were seeing was coming at the point of not getting your order in quick enough. And that's sort of like the, you know, one of the magical things that the Chick-fil-A does well is how quickly they make you, or they greet you when you get there, even if you're not getting your food. You know, you might have another 15 minutes to wait, but you did get your order taken within 2 minutes. And that makes a lot of difference to a lot of people. So I guess my kind of where I'm going with this is, it seems to me like this type of technology would be really good at helping operators understand that kind of thing, right? Of like, where is my issue in speed of service? You know, because every year that we do our drive-through study, that speed of service becomes a little blurrier to people. You know, it isn't kind of like the very obvious thing that it used to be, when it was just like, get me in and out of here as fast as possible. I don't care if I'm missing fries, it only costs $1, you know, kind of thing. But, yeah, I mean, talk about that. And kind of in the follow-up of like, you know, do operators come to you and say, like, help me understand, you know, what your technology is showing here? Because that's something I hear from operators a lot, is like, they just need that support from their vendor to help them figure out how to use all these technologies.
Yeah, I think Danny, you make a great point. I think what we've found in our years of doing this is that it's so much not just about the actual speed, but the perceived speed of service when a customer pulls up to a line. So what's their impression of your brand and how quickly you guys get cars through the drive-through? And also, you know, how far back is that car stack lining up? And what we find is, you know, intuitively, it makes sense. It, you know, you don't want to join a super long line. But what becomes really interesting is for us to give you that data that shows, hey, that magical number that starts making people want to, you know, not want to wait is, you know, either 6 cars or 7 cars or 8 cars. And it might vary by location. And that's something that this technology is really powerful at doing. And eventually we'll get you to a point where we'll come up with a game plan. Hey, you know, once the system tells you in real time, you're reaching this, you know, danger threshold number, we probably need to tweak up our operations game plan, either via, you know, line busting tablets you might be using, or, you know, changing up your ordering plan, or dropping more fries, you know, to get the line moving faster. So I really do believe that that perceived wait time is really what's key here. And, you know, we try to really find ways to help out with operators to cut that down. And then the second part, I think, which is, you know, really interesting as well, is the part about how do we help operators really understand. And I think it's you know, same for our company, but also any other tech company in this space is, you know, folks are so, a general manager makes so hundreds of decisions every day that the more you can boil it down to something simple and actionable that doesn't require a lot of training, that doesn't require a lot of effort to use your system, the easier this is to, you know, create value in the store. And that's something we spend a lot of time, and we've come a long way, you know, in the past 5 years, really just understanding, you know, what are the two or three things you really want to get out of this system, and how can we make that as straightforward, you know, whether that means we're just going to show you one number on the entire monitor, if that's what's going to hit home the point for your crew and your team, and really try to understand what are the big two or three things that you can really derive value from the system. You know, I really normally like to have this test where I believe a good software product should have over 50% of its features being regularly used, you know, by its customers and its users. But a lot of times, you know, what we find in the field are, you know, people are using 10% of the software product that they're purchasing. And I think what that shows is there's a lot to be desired in terms of really finding out what's that critical 10% you're using. How do we make that as good as it can be for you?
Yeah. And so we've been focusing on the drive-through technology here, but, you know, as you mentioned, you also have in-store, you know, cameras and things. So, you know, what does an operator do with that information of, you know, being able to, you know, see the queue inside or, you know, whatever it might be? I mean, how does that work in terms of helping them run better restaurants?
Yeah. So I think it's a very kind of parallel universe when it comes to in-store. Traditionally, a lot of brands have put their focus on drive-through, which makes sense because that's where a lot of their traffic is being driven and where a lot of transactions are coming from. But there's a minority group of operators that operate brands that are primarily not a drive-through business. You know, think your fast casuals, your takeout pizza joints that are perhaps not as, you know, drive-through oriented. And traditionally, these folks have been kind of just been neglected by the technology that's been available inside this QSR space. I mean, the best alternative for folks who run a primarily walk-in business in the QSR space has been, you know, using bump times from the POS. And that's all sorts of noisy data that, you know, a lot of times we talk to folks, they don't even know they have that kind of data because it's so noisy that their predecessors don't really tell them about it. And so I think it's really the same theory that if you believe speed of service matters in this business, and it's kind of a wide and very long tradition practice in the drive-thru, then it's applying that same principle and philosophy inside the store. So imagine you're running a fast casual or some type of counter serve QSR concept. You know, if you believe speed of service is important, then all it takes is one or two cameras that can tell you this is what your queue is looking like throughout the day and across different stores. And we can help you create kind of gamified, you know, mini competitions across your stores. We can also give you real-time information to let your crew know, you know, are we a man short at the cash register? Or are we really bottled up, you know, in the production line? And in real time, let you know where the bottlenecks are so that your crew can, you know, adapt in real time to fix those speed bottlenecks.
Yeah. So tell me, you know, from your perspective of, you know, you talk to, I imagine, a lot of people about the issues they're running into and how to solve them. But, you know, what are just some broader trends you're seeing right now in the industry in terms of what's really important to folks and, you know, what they're running into? I think we're at a very interesting point, you know, of course, you know, some sort of historic things like labor and, you know, other challenges. But at the same time, I mean, as I said earlier, one of the most complicated things on deck right now is the fact that there are so many solutions coming at you. You know, people messaging you on social media or emailing you, calling you, saying, I could fix this, this, and this. And I think a lot of times operators are just trying to figure out what is even my problem first, you know, and then do I want, because during COVID, you know, as I'm sure you can test, a lot of people kind of piecemealed this together because they're like, I need off premise. I got to get delivery. I got to get this, this. And they just hit up five different people. And then before they knew it, they had seven contracts, six, you know, vendors. And
yeah.
You know, and it was really expensive. And then, you know, the dust settled and they were like, do I still need this? And, you know, and so on and so forth. And I think that's kind of where we're at, is it's just like, I got to optimize kind of the solutions available to me. But yeah, I mean, what are you seeing in terms of like, what is on kind of the mind of the QSR operator right now?
Yeah, I think one of the things you touch on, labor, is definitely probably on everyone's mind. Ways that we can either, you know, save on labor or better optimize labor, and tools that can help around that. That's a big trend that I'm seeing. I think another trend that I see overall in the technology space in QSR is just about building more integrated and unified solutions, so that, you know, kind of this situation, Danny, you were just describing, where folks have all sorts of different systems that don't talk to each other, that do their own thing. I think there's really been a shift and focus for folks that are providing for these operators, and recognizing that people are tired and you know, frustrated with systems that can't communicate with each other. And so I see a big trend in the industry where a lot of folks are paying much more attention in terms of creating integrations and making sure the system operates, you know, with other systems seamlessly. I think in the AI space, which is where, you know, we're most deep in, other than cameras, you also see a lot of trends in voice AI, for example, I think is the other really exciting thing in QSR. And I think probably, you know, vision and voice are two AI pieces that can really drive a lot of impact for QSRs. I think they're going to help in different ways and probably come at different timelines, but those are kind of some of the general trends I'm seeing from a technology standpoint. And I think to your point, Danny, you know, we talked to a lot of operators that describe that pain of, you know, we have so many different types of systems, all trying to tackle different things, where, you know, my advice to folks has always been, try to pick things that are low effort or low maintenance for you, because a lot of these systems, you know, you end up paying more than just in dollars. You know, you're paying in your attention, you're paying in your time, you're paying in time you're spending training your team, onboarding different folks across your team. And so you really want to make sure you consider that total cost you're investing into a solution, whether that's time you need to spend, that's effort you need to put in to maintain a software system. And so that's kind of a big piece of advice I talked to a lot of operators where are looking at us or other types of systems, is to think about how much effort you need to be putting in once you actually have the system in place, and how intuitive or easy it is to take action on it.
So what's coming next? I feel like people have told me for years that, you know, they're going to start reading the license plate and, you know, it's going to suddenly know who I am. I'm going to go straight to my loyalty and it's going to pay and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's like, I guess that would be cool. Do I want that? Maybe. I probably wouldn't be a bad thing, but yeah, I mean, what's, you know, where is kind of the next drive through AI innovation coming? I mean, I imagine you always got to kind of think about what's ahead, but, you know, where is this space going?
Yeah, I think that's what's exciting about, you know, the AI space. It's evolving so quickly. I think with that said, though, I always like to caveat when I talk to folks who, and really temper their expectations, because AI is evolving really quickly today, but it's still not at a point where it's useful for all different types of solutions. So I think folks need to be really careful about thinking about what are the lowest hanging fruits and easiest use cases or applications where I could actually apply AI. And, with some of these, big data tracking, aggregate analytics type of things we do, I think that's one of the lower hanging fruits that we're going to see a lot of folks, try to use cameras to automate a lot of that useful operational data collection. At Berry, we like to think, our ultimate vision is to eventually automate a lot of the tasks that operators or crew members need to do with their eyes inside stores. And so we want to be able to be kind of the eyes in the background and really track things, whether it's, those fries have been sitting around for too long, or we want to be able to track, hey, there's trash left outside in the dining room that needs to be taken care of, or, the stack is building up in the drive-thru. I think that's ultimately where we want to become, as an industry, where these cameras can help automate a lot of these more routine or regular visual inspection type tasks. And, if you look at a brand standard, there are hundreds of tasks on there that we believe ultimately can be automated pretty easily with a camera. And so I think that's where we're headed directionally. What's exciting is that, I kind of compare it to a Tesla. You buy a car, but over time, you can install or download updates to make your car smarter. And I kind of see the same way for these AI camera systems in restaurants, where over time, there's going to be new capabilities on these cameras where it can now track, hey, did someone, break into my restaurant at night when I'm closed? Is someone opening the back door for security purposes, but also add new features where it can track other things? So I think that's directionally where the vision space is headed in the drive-through space.
Yeah, I haven't been surprised to see the drive-through really undergo this transformation, just because I think it's always historically been the most complicated order point in a QSR, because you got someone with a headset on, taking an order, pushing an order, dealing with three other people. So yeah. it's like the one job, over the years that I don't know that a lot of people wanted, because it was just full of these type of tasks. And the one most important task of actually giving the food to somebody or taking the order often got kind of rushed through because of all the other stuff going on that, no one really wants to do. And, we have seen every year that we collect data that, there's this correlation between customer service and speed, and it's both perceived, like we were saying before, where it's just like, if your experience was better, you probably thought it was faster. And then also a very simple idea of just, if you have a friendly or engaged employee, they're probably doing a better job than the unfriendly, unengaged employee. So it's those two things together tend to equal, friendliness equals speed of service. And so again, whether it's as extreme as voice automated ordering, or if it is cameras taking away some of those tasks, I do think that this is the space where, to me at least, I think it makes the most upside sense, because again, even financially, we're talking 70% of the orders at McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King, so yeah, you're in an interesting and good place to be, is I guess where I'm going with that, because I do think that this is an area that is not going to slow its disruption down, because there's so much to gain from doing it better.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, quick service restaurants, literally it's in its name, right? This is an industry that lives and dies by speed. So anything we can do to help in that regard, I don't think there will ever be a diminishing appetite from consumers for getting things faster. I mean, we live in an age where you click on a YouTube video, it loads in less than a second, and people are constantly getting accustomed to this idea of, one day shipping, less than one day, couple hours shipping. And so I definitely think it's an exciting space. It's a big problem for the industry, and, whatever we can do to help to ease either the labor challenges or speed challenges, I think that's been what's been really motivating to the team, solving real problems we think folks are facing.
Yeah. I think what's really changed now is the speed. There's like good and bad speed now. I think the trade-off that used to exist when you were just, fast but terrible in every other way. I don't think that that's as real of a thing currently, because your point of like how we access our own lives, everything that you order now within, to your point, like, I don't know about you, but if I order something digitally, the first thing I do is go to my email to get that confirmation that I feel a little bit better about it. And I think people look at food that way now to a degree too in QSR, because it's like, if I used to, we always used to yell at the box, and then, you didn't know if it worked out until you started to pull away. But you'll see Chick-fil-A and all these, order confirmation boards at other brands who turn the screen back to you, and be like, is this what you ordered? Right. Yeah. And it's such a different dynamic than it used to be, and so it's like there is a certain level of speed there, but if it's just inaccurate and a terrible experience, then it feels really slow now. I don't know where I'm going with this ramp.
You gotta be fast, but you gotta get it right. And if it's not right, then none of the rest matters.
I know that's right. So, Eric, thank you so much for joining us. But before I let you go, though, they're always kind of the thing I do here at the end is just give you a chance. If somebody out there wants to reach you, what would be a good place to do so? They want to learn more about the company. And then also, if you just had any final thing you wanted to say that I didn't bring up before, now you're free to do so. But otherwise, just maybe let people know where to find you if they're interested in learning more.
Yeah, so we have a lot of materials and videos and case studies on our website. So that's berry-ai.com. And so you'll be able to see, a lot of different folks and how they've used this system like this. And I'm always happy to, receive emails and chat with folks and really just talk through their speed challenges or anything we can do to help, with our system or without our system. And, my email is ericlam@berry-ai.com. So, definitely looking forward to folks that want to talk speed, talk cameras, talk AI. I nerd out about these topics. It's been a pleasure to talking about this for the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. And we will, we'll have to see what happens in the next couple of years and maybe revisit some of these points to see what kind of crazy technology is out there at that point. So yeah, thank you again, Eric. For everybody out there who's listening, as always, we appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.